Well, I do want to welcome everybody to the Lampletter call tonight. Very special call, welcoming us all into this new Hanukkah season. So happy Hanukkah, everybody. We are delighted that we are together tonight at an unprecedented moment in national history and possibly global history. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But as I mentioned before, Jolene and I had the honor of going to the White House Ellipse and joining with a lot of folks with black hats and prayer shawls and praying as the menorah was lit to commemorate the beginning of Hanukkah. They lit the middle candle first. That is the candle that lights every other candle. Most of you know Jolene and my story, that we were married on the first day of Hanukkah, December 20th, 2003, and we have reserved that center candle to be our unity candle. And as we are worshiping, just literally singing the song, "Glory, glory, send your glory, my glorious," as we are worshiping the Lord, that unity candle lit itself. God lit the center candle in front of everybody as we are worshiping and singing, "Glory, glory, send your glory." And I was in a conversation with Rick Ridings about this, and he was just stunned. He said, "Do you realize that that center candle, I believe they call it the Shamash candle, represents Yeshua, represents Jesus. He is the light of the world that lights every man and every woman." And since that time, the Lord has really, really impacted us and given us clear revelation from his throne about Hanukkah. So I really believe that this time period is very significant. And I believe that this year, more than any other year, the significance is magnified. We've been saying really since early fall that the Lord was going to move in an unusual way this Hanukkah. We felt to secure the Museum of the Bible for Revolution 2019. We had thought about some other venues, a few other places that were wonderful places and less expensive. We got a really great deal to host the Museum of the Bible. We are hosting the Museum of the Bible at a cost of $5,000 per day for us. And that is well below what they would usually charge for a daily rate. So we've gotten 3 days for this rate of $5,000 a day. But that said, that's a lot of money. We're bringing this because, number one, the Lord said so. And number two, we want to honor the Museum of the Bible. It is America's Ark of the Covenant, I believe, in Washington, D.C. And we want to see the Ark of the Covenant filled with the glory, the manifest presence and power of God. The Lord spoke to us very clearly in September that his council is going to be convening over Hanukkah. And I wrestled with that because my anticipation was with the 2018 elections that the Lord was going to convene his council over Washington, D.C., in early November. And really, we are praying for God's counsel to be released across the nation to governmentally shift the elections. The reason why I say that the power to governmentally shift the elections or governmentally shift the nation is even a better way to put it, is within the counsel of God. It's because Jeremiah chapter 23 says very clearly, if they had stood in my counsel, Jeremiah is speaking about the prophets and rebuking them with tears in his eyes because they had bowed their knees to Baal and even prophesied by Baal. They prophesied for selfish gain. They spoke a vision out of their own mind and not from the mouth of the Lord. And it says, if they had stood in my counsel and they had heard my word, then they would have released my word to my people and would have turned them from their wicked ways. I really believe that there is no long-term grace to turn a people apart from gaining heaven's counsel from heaven's counsel. And if you read that passage of scripture in Jeremiah 23, it's fascinating to me because, you know, we all think that we have to be, you know, Chuck Pierce or James Gall or Cindy Jacobs in order to get into heaven's counsel. And here, God is rebuking the prophets for not standing in his counsel. So I know there are people who have supernatural experiences with the counsel of the Lord. We have had some significant experiences with the counsel of the Lord. But I trust that when I pray and ask God to grant me access to heaven's counsel, if he is leading, whether I have a vision of angelic hosts around a big table or not, I just have to know and believe that my human spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that's one of the heavenly places he's called us to abide. And as we pray in the Spirit, and as we seek the face of the Lord, as we read the Word of God, his counsel becomes clarified to us. But that said, we need the counsel of heaven. We don't need the counsel of men right now. We really do need the counsel of heaven. Because it's very clear that God is wanting to turn the nation. He's for us. He wants our nation to shift. But we cannot do it of our own accord with our own plans and programs. And I've taken a little bit of flack for this, but guys, this is why we are devoting copious times in throughout Revolution 2018 this year to really stand in God's counsel and hear his word and move with the Spirit. And I believe that God wants to set a new course for America, a new way forward for our nation. And so we're not coming as spectators to revolution this year. We hope you're not coming as spectators to revolution this year. We want you to come in the full governmental authority that the Lord has entrusted you with. We want you to come in the full expression of who you are. And you may pray from the microphone or prophesy from the microphone. You may not. That's not what this is about. It's about us standing together in the counsel of God and receiving the counsel from his throne and speaking back to him and declaring back to him what he is saying in a way that magnifies the expression of God's heart, his word, and his voice to shape this new way forward for our nation. I hope that makes sense to you. But let me just give you a heads up of what a couple of prophets are saying. And even before I share that, let's just look at an extraordinary moment in history with President George H.W. Bush passing on. Hey, there's many, many godly aspects to President Bush's legacy that we want to honor. It's amazing the tributes and the outpourings of affection that have come. He is the man who spoke about 1,000 points of light. And, you know, that's really what Hanukkah is all about. All across the nation and all across the nation of Israel right now and many nations of the earth, the lights are coming on and God is shining his light and separating light from darkness. Whether it was directly attributed to George Bush or whether there are some things that have gone on just based on what he said, I don't know for sure. I do have a pretty good idea. But I also know that there were ties if I could put it this way, to the false illumination, the new world order, globalism tied to idolatry, that unfortunately set a course for our nation that put us on track to lose our identity in Jesus Christ, lose even our Judeo-Christian values as we moved towards a humanistic agenda empowered by idolatry that ultimately, if left unchecked, could establish America as a platform for global governance tied to this idolatry. We've dealt with as prayer networks throughout the past decade, we've dealt with restoring our nation to the Lord Jesus Christ, divorced from our historic and present idolatry, whatever expression of that idolatry it is. And the Lord has confirmed with signs following his delight in our cry to have covenant with him restored. He's confirmed over and over that covenant with him has been restored and is valid before the throne. Why do I bring that up on Hanukkah? I bring this up on Hanukkah because that's what the whole celebration is really about. It's really about a group of spiritual revolutionaries who saw the plight of their nation and of the heritage of their nation represented by the temple of God. These Greek and Syria formed a confederation, and that confederation is kind of like a global confederation of that hour. They didn't have a paradigm beyond the Mediterranean region, but the dominant force at that time was Greece. And Greece and Syria aligned together. So Syria with Baal worship, Greece with Zeus worship, Zeus and Baal pretty much the same entity. If you study it out, the same roots are in both. And they formed an alliance. Their army was the fiercest in the Mideast. And they took over Israel. They took over the temple. And Judah Maccabee and his band of spiritual revolutionaries broke through the strongest line of defense to take back their temple. That temple had been dedicated as an altar to Zeus, the temple of God, defiled. The fire had gone out. And unjust blood, I'll just put it that way, the blood of a pig, was shed by Antiochus Epiphanes on the very altar of God. It's the ultimate abomination. And apparently that abomination occurred somewhere either close to or directly on December 25th. And Judah Maccabee was incensed about this, and he knew that there had to be a plan in the Lord to take back his desolate heritage and invite God to come back in. And he literally relit the menorah to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord after it had been defiled by Baal worship. It was his expression of his day, what we call now divorcing our historic idolatry. And the entire miracle of Hanukkah is predicated upon that divorce and that covenant reconsecration. To the extent that you know the story, the fire of God was kindled, but Judah discovered that there was only enough oil for the fire to blaze for one day. Supernaturally, the fire burned for 8 days. The menorah burned for 8 days until they could come and get fresh oil and resource that menorah again. And I believe that we are in a season right now where God is literally sending his fire. It was remarkable on this Rome to Jerusalem journey when we felt like we needed to repent for where Western powers essentially had taken the menorah of God and took it as basically plunder. We were in Rome. You guys know the story about this, but we were in Rome, and I'm not going to go too far into it, but we were in Rome a year ago, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me that it's now his time to restore his menorah from Rome to Jerusalem. And the very menorah that Judah Maccabee relit was taken as plunder by the Romans a few generations later as Rome arose and conquered the Mediterranean region. They literally took down, Titus took down the temple, plundered the temple, demolished it, slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Jewish people. They were dispersed to the four corners of the earth in what was known as the diaspora. And the menorah that Judah Maccabee relit to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord was taken as Roman plunder. And the Arch of Titus commemorates that plunder. And as Jolene and I were standing there a year and a half ago, the Lord spoke to me that he is now restoring his menorah from Rome to Jerusalem. And so this whole tour from Rome to Jerusalem was established around that vision. And we had an amazing, amazing time. But when we presented the menorah at the Western Wall, we were at Aish HaTorah, which means fire of the Torah, and the son of the founder of Aish HaTorah actually greeted us, welcomed us in, and would you believe his name was Judah. So Judah Maccabee relit the menorah to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord. It got demolished, and the menorah was taken as plunder to Rome, and you know, the apostolic lampstand of the Lord was literally severed from the roots of our covenant faith and really joined to the roots of Roman paganism. You guys know the extraordinary prayer time we had to disconnect that menorah from the roots of Roman paganism and restore the menorah to the roots of our covenant faith. And in process, we had a national and literally global time of disengaging even our capital cities from the roots of Roman paganism. It turned out to be on the very same day that Justice Kavanaugh was having his hearings on Capitol Hill. We were on Capitoline Hill in Rome, Italy, asking God to sever the ungodly connections, even the ungodly connections empowering abortion from Capitoline Hill to Capitol Hill. And when we saw the menorah restored, we knew that this was a moment that was unlocking the restoration of God's lampstands globally. God's burning and shining lamps globally. I want to just take a minute now. Lord, on this first night of Hanukkah, we together receive the restoration, the resetting of our menorahs, the resetting of our personal lampstands, the first love devotion to Jesus Christ. We receive the full measure of breakthrough that you had ordained for us and secured for us through this gathering in Jesus' name, through this journey, this apostolic witness to what you are doing. And we thank you, Lord, that you have restored our menorahs back to you, our lamps of first love devotion. And now, as they've been restored, it's time for our lamps to shine. It's time for our lamps to shine in a way that breaks through the false illumination and the false covenants that have tried to overtake our nation and overtake our families and overtake our churches. We want the true lamp of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the apostolic witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to shine in this nation again. And we declare the restoration of your menorah, Father God. We declare the restoration of your menorah over the Western Wall, Father God, and the Temple Mount in Israel. And we declare here in Washington, D.C., in the name of Jesus, the covenant alignment and restoration of your holy fire as of Hanukkah 2018, in the name of Jesus. from false illumination to the true illumination of the Lord. Sweetheart, Jolene, is there anything you want to pray into that?
Sure. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the fire. We thank you for the cleansing fire, Lord. We thank you that as your body, we're coming to you in this season, Lord, and we desire that just like you cleanse the temple, just like you cleanse the temple, there is so much defilement that goes on and around each one of us, even as we go through our day and even as we walk through the grocery store and other things, there is so much defilement, Lord. And the enemy attempts to defile our temple over and over and over again. So, Lord, we're coming to you on this first day of Hanukkah. We're coming to you in this Hanukkah season asking that you will cleanse the defilement from our own temples, Lord. There are many ways in which the enemy has come and wreaked havoc on our bodies, wreaked havoc in the demonic realm against us. Lord, we ask for the fire of God to come and cleanse us as your temple, Lord. And we thank you for the lightning strikes of God. We thank you for the thunderings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fire that is set upon our altar, Lord. Let the fire on our altar never go out and cleanse us as your temple and with your love, Lord. And we thank you this first day of Hanukkah that you're going to powerfully move in our lives and light our fires again, and light the altar again. Start with the first candle, which is you, the branch, Lord. Start with the first candle, which is you, the servant. And, Lord, let the light and the fire of you spread throughout all of those areas of our life, Lord. We love and we bless you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I agree. It's fascinating to me, thank you, sweetheart, that we are gathering over this time, and again with President Bush having passed on, again honoring the godly legacy, and any aspect of the legacy that wasn't godly or that may have gotten co-opted by the enemy, we want to see the Lord disengage us from any ungodly dimension of any legacy other than the legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is really the covenant consecration that the pilgrims had in mind when they, on November 11th of 1620, put the stake in the ground and committed this nation to Jesus Christ, the movement that would become a freedom nation. And it's fascinating to me to see how the Lord is aligning us for this journey ahead to 2020, 2020 being the 400th anniversary of the signing of the Mayflower Compact, where this covenant with Christ was established. And I believe the Lord wants to align our government with his covenant. I know many of you on this call, Barbara Potts, many of you on this call have been laboring unceasingly to see that dream come to pass. But the Lord highlighted for this year, for us, he absolutely highlighted Hanukkah. He highlighted the Rome to Jerusalem tour over tabernacles, and then he highlighted Hanukkah. And I want to say, you know, it sounded so out of turn for us to prophesy that there's something coming over Hanukkah that was going to be of such significant weight it would have the potential to shift our nation. I remember talking with Jolene after Chuck Pierce's Head of the Year gathering. Chuck Pierce prophesied that we have until February of 2019 to shift the nation. And if we don't see that shift, what we know of America is going to completely fall apart. I mean, that was Chuck Pierce. You guys know that Chuck is a very redemptive prophet at all times. And for him to speak that openly and that fiercely, it surprised Jolene and me. And I think it surprised a lot of people. And he also prophesied in that service, what he used the very language we've been using about a freedom movement that God is calling forth to shift us into covenant. And he didn't say that this was going to be far off. He said the pivot point was by February. And, you know, it surprised me, but it didn't surprise me when Chuck actually said, hey, I'd like to come to your gathering. I have a word. Because I think he needs the freedom to prophesy into Washington, D.C. with the move of the Spirit and the flow of the Spirit, just have the complete freedom to give the word of the Lord that he is carrying. And he told us that he has a very specific word for Washington, D.C. And I believe the word is a commissioning of the new. I don't know what that's going to look like as he shares it, but I do know that this freedom movement is being commissioned as of Hanukkah. I so appreciate the opportunity for everybody to connect via web stream, this live stream. It was a surprise to us that Revolution is going to be web streamed. We thought that it wasn't, and then this person at the last moment, our friend Jamie Bass, said the Lord spoke to him to make the investment and come. And we said, hallelujah, thank you very much, because we know how much the Lamplighter family, who hasn't been able to make it out here, wants to connect and be part of this. I mean, who wants to miss Chuck Pierce prophesying in Washington, D.C. about what the time ahead is all about? Who wants to miss Rick and Patricia Ridings, the ones who prophesied this whole crown and throne movement back in 2012, coming back in because they have a word of the Lord? And then Faisal Malik rocked the house last year. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time with Faisal Malik. So I'm very excited about all this. But I believe that there is something vitally important for you who feel called to be here, to be here. And honestly, we still have about 75 seats available. If you feel to come, please make every effort. You step out in faith, and I guarantee you the Lord will assist you, will make this opportunity available to you. Because your presence on site in the governmental ecclesia at this time is vital. I'm just saying, it is. It's amazing to me that an era, an epoch, has literally come to an end with the passing of George H.W. Bush. And one way or another, we are literally entering into a new era. And it's not up to the world to define that era. It's actually up to us. I was really, really stunned to come across the prophetic word by Bobby Connor. Now, Bobby didn't send this to us. We, you know, we have each other's emails, and we've connected many times, just, you know, our paths have crossed. But it's not like he wrote this thinking that, you know, we would even see this. I don't think he knew that we were going to have a Revolution conference this week. But 4 days ago now, Bobby Connor prophesied he had a dream of a righteous revolution, and that the court is in session. If you read our postings for the past couple of days, we shared on this, but it's appropriate to keep this alive on the audio, which we're going to make available to everybody after we finish up. This is Bobby's dream in his own words. I had a dream which is so real, it was as if it were an actual occurrence. In this experience, I was sitting alone in a huge room, much like a courtroom. Suddenly, I heard a very loud sound of a gavel striking the judge's bench. Quickly, I looked toward the direction the sound came from. However, all I could see was blinding light, much like the rays of the sun shining in its strength. From this brilliant light, I was addressed by a voice which stated, there must come a righteous revolution. At that moment, I questioned, asking why. The voice stated in a strong, promising tone to turn us back to God. This is the dream that we have, folks. Bobby continues, at this point, I heard the phrase which was spoken with great authority, court is now in session. Now, this is Bobby Connor 4 days ago now, at least posting the dream. Maybe he had it a week ago or a month ago. I don't know how that works with Bobby, but he has this dream, and he's prophesying that this is the season in which the court is in session, and what the court has determined is that a righteous revolution must come. I mean, Hanukkah, spiritual revolutionary, Judah Maccabee, Jesus most likely conceived over Hanukkah, most likely born over the Feast of Tabernacles or Yom Kippur, somewhere around there. But this greatest revolutionary that ever lived, Yeshua HaMashiach, who waged a revolution against the enemy and shifted the enemy out from the authority structure of mankind and took his place, and is coming back again in the fullness of this stature to literally unseat an Antichrist force in a spiritual revolution and reestablish his covenantal authority, governmental authority over the nations. That Yeshua HaMashiach most likely was conceived over Hanukkah. God is a revolutionary. No revolution is fought just to take ground. Every revolution is fought to establish new government. And God is saying now that it's time for his revolution. He's saying now, through some of the highest prophets in the land, that now is the time for this revolution. The dream goes on. Instantly, the entire courtroom was packed with people. They were extremely quiet. You could sense they were uneasy and not sure what was about to take place. And I heard an order: call in these three witnesses. Number one, the individual. Number two, the church. And number three, the nation. These are the witnesses in heaven's court. Again, from the radiant light, the voice speaks, addressing the called witnesses. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Again, I heard a voice from the blinding light, a voice from the fire, in other words, is what he's conveying. It's posing a question: are you prepared to present your case? You are coming to Revolution this week to present your case before not just the Supreme Court, but the court that is higher than the Supreme Court, the court of heaven. And as Bobby says, the fate of this nation is in the balance. I don't know how God chose all this. He gave us just a little heads up so we could kind of get mobilized to the best we can. We have a remnant group, as Lenny Harlow prophesied. But this remnant group is being summoned together to Washington, D.C. to literally present our case before the throne. Bobby continues, at this point, I am stunned, awake, my heart pounding, knowing that we have entered into a time to take a stand. I was troubled, knowing that we hold the key to which way our future will go. Are you hearing this? First, each of us must examine our individual life. It's easy to blame the church or nation, but God will call us first to account for our individual behavior. As the people of God, we do hold the keys that determine which way we will go. None can remain neutral. We must seek God and turn to him with all of our hearts. The future of the nation depends on it. We must seek God and turn to him with all of our hearts. This has been such a focus our entire year as a Lamplighter family. Seeking the Lord and turning to him, teshuvah, turnaround, turning to him with all of our hearts. This is what we are focused on with this revolution gathering. And I didn't know this, did you? I mean, I knew that Heaven's Council was convening, but the future of our nation depends on this. If we will do it, they will do it. Bobby confirms this. He says, if our nation is to be changed, it must be from the church house, not the White House. So Bobby recognized that this season is a season of urgency, and he saw how heaven's court is being convened to establish this new way forward. What we've kind of been sharing with the limited vision that we've had, but with the clarity we've had, that this season of Hanukkah, these 8 days, are establishing a new way forward for our nation. We must see this turnaround. Lord, as the Lamplighter family, we commit to what you spoke to us, Lord. You said during the morning of my son's wedding, you spoke to me with such clarity that the turnaround for 2018 must be completed. And we say yes to completing the turnaround, even over this window of opportunity that you have granted us. And we're so grateful for this, that you have granted this window over Hanukkah. We ask that you help us to prepare our case before your throne, Lord. We ask for heaven's counsel, Lord. We ask, Lord, for council chamber meetings, Father God. We ask that you give us clarity even on how to present the case to you and see your verdict of justice rendered in favor of the saints, Daniel 7:22. So that we can see the fullness of that verdict established in our hour, restraining the enemy and releasing the saints to possess the kingdom. I want to finish just our dialogue here by sharing Chuck Pierce's warning, because Chuck's warning literally mirrors so much of what Bobby Connor was perceiving. This is Chuck Pierce, and you know Chuck just called on Saturday, 21 days to gain access. And really, that's all about accessing heaven's counsel, accessing heaven's court. But here's what Chuck prophesied, as I referenced before, at the head of the year 2018 gathering. With prophets, we're called to say what will be, Chuck Pierce said. I don't have a choice to be political and be Republican or Democrat. I have to choose to say this must happen or else your children will be lost. What we have heard here is a message saying God's hand has come down in America. Realign the nation covenantally with the nation called Israel. This is so key for us to get as we move forward. And now hear me prophetically. Within 3 years, it is lost. I will go beyond what John Kilpatrick was saying. Without this shifting by February of next year, fully into place to get secure, in 3 years, this is lost. I want to say that heaven's counsel is being convened over Washington, D.C. We are coming for revolution. Prophets that are great friends of ours, but maybe not in the same precise stream as ours, who don't know about this revolution gathering, are prophesying about a righteous revolution to turn America back to God. This is a moment in history that is being defined by the prophetic and apostolic voices before our very eyes. And then add to that the passing of a president, the passing of an era which that president represents, the godly legacy, expanding President Reagan's policies. Really, he should be honored as a hero for his service in World War II. But there was also this dimension, whether it was directly him or whether it was just attributed to him, I don't know, with this new world order, many, many in the occult realms took that word about a new world order and began to be activated to shift the nations into a global platform of governance tied to idolatry. And that's what the Lord is disempowering in this hour. I believe the time has come for America to shift fully into this new way forward that Jesus has dreamed from the beginning, when he put his dream in the hearts of these pilgrims who crossed the waters to forge a nation married to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must return. We must see the turnaround manifested in our time, the Daniel 7:22 turnaround. The ball is in our court as much as it is in heaven's court. If we will, he will. It's a time right now to lay it all on the line. One final point, and I'll answer questions and we'll pray, okay? This past Friday, the Holy Spirit gave a few very key prophetic words. My friend Jamie Jackson, who's going to be here and part of the mix and leading worship, he and Radonna Jackson, the Remnant Band is coming to lead worship. He had a dream about a hard right turn that needed to be made, and it was one in the dream that I didn't perceive. The Lord is saying for this week, we need to make that hard right turn. Number two, as I was writing all this up, the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly. I have given you, this is the word of the Lord, I have given you a mandate to complete the turnaround in 2018, and I say to you, the clear direction and governmental anointing you expected to experience in November for this nation is coming by my Spirit over Hanukkah. Stay tight with me and tuned to my Spirit. Watch with me, allowing no room for fleshly distraction. I am navigating you into a hard right turn, which will preserve you and set you on the right course for your desired end. And I want to make clear, this hard right turn isn't right versus left, but right versus wrong. And I believe it's even going to impact government. Jolaine and I have asked Lynn Alderson, the director of HAPN nationally, to bring some teams in to connect and pray over governmental structures at over revolution. And we're all going to be just flowing in and out of all this. But this is what the Lord said. I didn't know at that time, probably just a few hours after the Lord gave me this word, it's when President Bush passed on. I say to you, do not miss your turnaround this week. I call you to seek me for this turnaround, to sow into this turnaround, and to secure this turnaround for your nation, your sphere, and for your nation. Seek, sow, and secure. This is the word of the Lord to you. Seek, sow, and secure. We want to give you an opportunity to sow into what God is bringing forth throughout these next 8 days. I had felt very strongly that we needed to, by the Spirit of God, he was inviting us to open up the invitation for 8 days of giving. And you know that I don't, like, just bring these invitations out. When the Holy Spirit leads, these invitations come. And we all access the benefit and blessing of these times. But seek the Lord, seek his fire. The fire that separates light from darkness, the breaker and awning. Sow and secure this turnaround. That's the mandate the Lord's given us. So with that, I want to encourage you. This week is more important than we possibly knew. And I'm really glad we didn't know. I'm glad we knew in part and were able to respond and continue to respond in obedience to the Lord. But I want us together tonight, just as Jolaine prayed, to sanctify ourselves for this expression that he is bringing forth during the 8 days of Hanukkah. He's chosen this time. He's given us a heads up on it, and many, many others a heads up on it. But Lord, we just sanctify ourselves and commit ourselves this first night of Hanukkah. When the days are most dark, you're shining your light. And we give ourselves to you to be your burning and shining lamps, to be your catalyst individually and corporately for the turnaround that you have given. But above all else, to be lovers of God and seekers of your face, seekers of your manifest glory. Lord, I thank you for opening up the council chambers. You opened up the council chambers in Isaiah's day, and he saw you seated on a throne in a year of King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord seated on the throne, lofty and exalted, with his train of his robe filling the temple. And we thank you, Lord, that in this year, we sanctify this year to you from Hanukkah to Hanukkah, Lord. And we say that within this year, where the king has passed on and the governments are shaking, we say right now, in the name of Jesus, that we are sanctifying ourselves to encounter you as the king in your glory. May the gateposts shake at the voice of him who cries, just as there was an earthquake on Friday from Alaska all the way down to Argentina, it was felt. We thank you, Lord, that you are literally shaking the gates of earth. You're shaking the governmental gates. Chuck Pierce prophesied that Alaska was a gateway of the Ancient of Days to come and take his seat over North America. The gatepost shook at the voice of him who cries, and the temple of this nation fills with the smoke of your glory. Court is now in session. We ask, Lord, at the outset, I have communion in my hands. You guys are more than welcome to join me, but I just sanctify this as the body and blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And Father, in Jesus' name, on behalf of the Lamplighter family, on behalf of Jolene and myself, we just receive your body and your blood, the ultimate verdict for all mankind. We present the body and blood of Yeshua HaMashiach to you in this first night where heaven's court is in session and heaven's council is open. We plead the blood of Jesus over our own selves, over our spheres of authority, over our respective cities and states, over our churches. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over Washington, D.C. We plead the blood of Jesus over this nation. We plead the blood of Jesus over Israel. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the governmental seats of authority for Prime Minister Netanyahu, as he's facing tremendous accusation at the very same time President Trump is facing tremendous accusation. We plead the body and blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, the light of the world, over Prime Minister Netanyahu, over President Trump, Lord. We ask, Lord, for a governmental shift and turnaround in their favor, for the blessing that they are to you and the blessing that they are to the nations in this covenant realignment. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over our nation, and we are asking you for your turnaround, your way. The only evidence for this plea to be fulfilled is ultimately your precious body and your precious blood. Lord, as you've taught us, we also take a portion of this bread and we hand it back to you to continue the work of exposing the Judases, exposing those who are set against you, who's resolved to be set against you and try to sabotage your covenant purposes. We ask that you continue to shine your light and bring redemptive exposure. We say, let there be light, and let these forces and the people aligned with these forces within the spheres of government, the deep state, whatever that stuff is, Lord, we ask that you covenantally and governmentally restrain their efforts. And we ask, Father, for your light to shine, bringing exposure to the corruption behind it, in Jesus' name. We ask for the vast majority of governmental leaders and workers, Lord, who we ask for a sweeping move of Holy Spirit, that this light of holy illumination, Lord, this shift in even the power source, will bring a redemptive shining and unveiling of Yeshua, of Jesus, in this season, Lord, that this Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, I believe at the inception, the conception of Jesus, but we celebrate the birth, Lord, that there will be multitudes that can earnestly and honestly say, this Christmas, Christ was born in me, and I am born again. We ask for a sweeping turnaround Lord, as a result even of efforts this week here in Washington, D.C., where the light of the world shines from coast to coast, Alaska, Hawaii, and to the nations, Lord, with a freedom movement unveiling the majesty of the King who lived and died to free us all in Jesus' name. And this one has rose again, and he is taking his place at the head. And we are so grateful for the resurrected Christ, the King of glory, seated on the throne. And we commit ourselves, Father, to you in holy awe and holy reverence tonight. We commit the Lamplighter family to you. We commit our course to you. We commit revolution to you. Establish our steps. Bring us before you. That's the dream of our hearts, Jesus. We want you. And we want our nation to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
John?
Yes, sweetheart.
I just want to share a dream I have that the Lord keeps bringing back up to me. And in this dream, there was an airplane that was taking off, and we were already behind in getting to the airplane. But there was someone who was driving me around, and she just had a lackadaisical attitude about getting us to the airport on time. It was like she got easily distracted, and she got... And I am, like, frantically saying, we're already late. We need to get there. The airplane isn't going to wait for us. And I just, this whole time we've been talking, the Lord has been bringing back to me that we are already late. And that, and the Lord showed me in the dream, actually, that it was two sides of me. And the person who was driving was really the one who got easily distracted and didn't care if she got to the airport or time, or I have to stop and run this errand, or I got to do that. And the Lord began to show me that the window is closing, and this is a very, very key window. So I've been pressing in all this week and all last week, really pressing into the Lord for him to do some deep cleansing work. And basically what the Lord showed me was that those were two sides of me. One was easily distracted, and I kept saying in the dream, how did you get to be the one driving me to the airport when this destination is so important? I said it over and over again. Why would you be the one driving me to this airline when you don't care whether we really get there on time or not, and you're so easily distracted? So I have really been pressing into the Lord and having him cleanse what areas of distraction, what areas where it's so easy to get involved in day-to-day activities or whatever, when the Lord is really asking us to press in this season and, you know, to overcome some obstacles. I've heard many, many stories about people who have felt like the Lord wanted them to come, and then something's come up at the final. I really feel like the Lord was saying to me, it's a time to get past the obstacles and the distractions and really to press forward, because this door is closing. The plane is lifting off with or without you, and it's not going to wait. And I really had to confess, you know, my getting easily distracted, etc. So he's brought that back up to me. This entire phone call is that dream, and how important this season is, and that the door is closing, and we really need to press forward and press on and make sure whatever areas are in us get cleansed to make sure that we are on the plane and not distracted.
Wow. Have a good day. That explains, you know, that sums up a lot of the feedback that we've had regarding Revolution this year, because there's Christmas parties, there's this, there's that, family stuff. And I understand, believe me, I understand that. We're not trying to make your life inconvenient. We want your life to be blessed, full, and enriched. There's a time to hear the summons.
Yeah, part of what I wanted to say and all that, that is why when the person came to us and said, you know, I will web stream for you, and we felt it was very important for those who, and I'm not trying to say, you know, drop everything and come. If you feel it's the Lord, do that. But it's very important, we felt, to get it out on WebStream, and even when people have other activities and other things going on, to be able to join by WebStream and be a part, whether you're here actually in town or not. This is a very significant event.
Can I speak? This is Tanner, because I have 100% witness on that. And since Israel, I've been getting, like, hardcore attacked. And when I heard your guys' warning today, I doubled up my efforts, because I feel 100% that I need to get my healing work done. But I am just getting non-stop attacked. And I'm getting on an airplane. I'm going to strike the match with Ed Watts in Michigan, and I feel like somehow we're all connected, but I have to get on an airplane called Spirit Airlines out of LAX, and I've just been having this fear that I'm going to miss my flight, so, which is kind of an irrational fear, but I feel 100% in agreement with Jolene, and I've been really struggling with distraction and, like, on a regular basis, having to break it off, but I'm tired, and I feel like God is trying to tell me, hey, you need to ask for help and prayer.
Well, Lord, we bless Tanner right now.
Hi, guys.
We just ask in Jesus' name. Okay, go ahead.
No, John, sorry. I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
I'll start and you can finish, sweetheart. Lord, we just bless Tanner. We just ask that you cover her with your precious body and blood. We place the cross of Christ between Tanner and the forces of darkness in the principalities and powers from Rome. I'm going to just stop the recording here. So the Lord bless each one of you as you listen to this message. And we just pray that the grace of the Lord, the fire of the Lord be on you. In Jesus.